फिर बिगन द डिस्कशन ऑन द नोबल हेयर ऑफ रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम, द एथिकल्स, द सुन्नत्स ऑफ हेयर एंड द डिफरेंट रिवायात ऑफ सहाबा रज़ियल्लाहु ताला अन्हुम. Today we begin the discussion in the heading English style. English style here is forbidden. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited them from qaza. This is the term used in the hadith sharif qaza. Nafi' rahimahullah ta'ala, the narrator, inquired about the meaning of the word. And he was informed that qaza means to shave a portion of the hair and to retain the rest. So two completely different lengths of hair which is prohibited. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited us from this type of style of hair. According to an explanation in Sahih Bukhari, qaza also refers to keeping only the forelock. It also refers to keeping the hair on the sides longer. So basically, it will entail that there are two different lengths of hair on a person's head, whether the forelock, whether on the sides. Alama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has written that any hairstyle where the hair is partially shaven or shortened and the rest maintained the normal length is categorized as qaza, and this is prohibited. This is fashionable among today's youth and it is explicitly prohibited. The hair must be of an equal length all over the head. Other definitions of qaza have also been mentioned by the ulama ikram. But the question here now, my dear brothers, so when he comes to the style of hair, what does entice a young boy to keep hair like this? Even though it might not look so smart, this becomes a trend. Some footballer kept it, some celebrity kept it. So even if it looks wayward also. But because so much of influence, and the influence also sometimes is in the house, that their parents allow them to see these things, so they get influence or the company. The place where they are schooling, so that is the common style among the friends also, so influence. Here our Honorable and Beloved Shaykh Azam Abdul Hamid Sahib mentioned also that once someone came to his Ustaz, Hafiz Suji, Rahmatullah Ali, and mentioned to him that I'm sending my daughter overseas to Britain to study in the university, so Hazrat make dua that she doesn't get influenced. So the reply was that what you are asking me to do is to make dua and that you are sending your daughter out in the rain and she mustn't get wet. She will get wet. Influence will be there, she's the environment. So it is going to happen. It is going to happen. So how can you send her there? As much as she likes to protect herself, the environment is like that. And if you don't want to conform to the environment, then you'll be an outcast. How strong is she now to keep her ground? And then Hazrat will say also, that what you want to do is you want to plant, you want roses in your garden, but you're planting weeds. Plant weeds, you'll get weeds, you won't get roses. You have to plant roses. So you have the gardens of Jannat, which is the halqas of ta'aleem, the madrasas, etc. So we're going to see where we are sending the children, we know that is in the environment, and my child is not so strong to stand his ground. So what is more important right now? Is it his tarbiyat? Is it her tarbiyat? Or is it just the education? This is why Hazrat says also, this is a very important point we keep on mentioning, is one is to believe in Allah, one is to trust in Allah. I hand my children over to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will take care of them. We all have this fear. We have to give them the best of education. And Hazrat mentions this point, we want to give them the best of education, but we are giving them the worst of education. Where with that education comes all the baggage and everything with that. So Allah Ta'ala give us understanding also and give them the himmat and the strength that they fall in love with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as Shaykh Abu Hassan Ali Nadi rahimullah says, the best way, the most effective way to cause the child to fall in love with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his way of life, his sunnats, is from young already. Read to him the stories of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and explain to him the perfection, how perfect being he was in every sense of the word, whether in beauty, whether in akhlaq, whether in every aspect of his life, was absolutely perfect. Let them listen about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam till they aspire to become like that. Now from young already, They're exposed to everything else and it happens naturally. The environment has become like that. And therefore, we have to count it. What the Sahaja Sahib says, for 6 to 8 hours in a day, they are listening to everything besides Allah. Ghayrullah. The kalima is La ilaha illallah. And they listen to everything besides kalima. For 6 to 8 hours consecutively. Nothing about the qabr. Nobody is reminding them also. And nobody is preparing them also. So 6 to 8 hours, 5 days a week, 6 days a week is everything besides Allah. The dunya, education, this, everything else. Therefore, we have to counter that every night. So to them, have ta'aleem, remind them for the akhirat, sustenance of Allah. If you want to be successful in your worldly life and akhirat, there's only one way, and that is Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no other way. Whether it comes to their hairstyle, when it comes to your clothing, until they are completely convinced that there is no other way whatsoever. It is prohibited to have extremely long hair. As Wa'il bin Hujar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam objected to the length of his hair. This was Wa'il bin Hujar, he had very long hair. A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu by the name of Ibn al-Hanzaliyya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated, one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khuraym Asadi is a good man, if only he did not keep his hair so long. He's a good man, but his hair is too long. And allow his trousers to extend below the ankles. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took him by name. That Khuraym Asadi is a good man, if only he did not keep his hair so long, and allow his trousers to extend below ankles. When Khuraym radiyallahu ta'ala anhu heard of this remark, he shortened his hair to the earlobe and began wearing his trousers till half the shin. Immediately he took action. He heard it. It is a comment of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he believed it. This should be enough also for ourselves and for our children. There's so much love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we heard it and I will do it immediately. Immediately I will do it. It is prohibited for men to grow their hair beyond shoulder length. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never allowed his hair to grow so long. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala used to have men stationed at the doors of the masjid on the days of Jumu'ah to trim the hair of any person whose hair was longer than the permissible length. So he would keep somebody at the door. Anybody's hair is longer than that, then do him a favor. He doesn't have time to go to the barber. Then we sort him out at the door of the masjid. This mustn't take now fashion in the house of Allah Tabar. Other people see it, they want to do the same. Note the above hadith categorically prove the permissibility of having extremely long hair. Shaving the hair on the nape, here just behind, to the part of the hair. Now should two lengths are not permissible. They only remove the hair on the nape, only see now, two lengths. They have a full head of hair and the nape is shaven. So let me consider also as lens, because is it part of the head or not part of the head? It is related from Amir al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited shaving the hair on the nape except for cupping purposes. That a person goes to the barber but has just cleaned up in the back only. So this is impermissible. It is also part of the head. So this constitutes now like you have two lengths of hair. It is just makruh to shave the hair on the nape without any reason. If you do so, any valid reason, if you shaving your complete head, then you do the nape also. Wearing a wig or other false hair. As Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that a woman came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and informed him that her daughter who was going to be married on that day had patches on her head due to falling hair. She asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam if she could use the trimmed hair of another woman and join it to her daughter's so that it would not seem so hideous. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has cursed the woman who joins hair to other people's hair and the one to whose hair others' hair is joined. Comes in the riwayat clearly that we hear it again, Allah has cursed the woman who joins hair to other people's hair. So whether it's false hair, whether other human's hair, and now she joins his hair to another woman's hair, she's cursed under the curse of Allah and the one to whose hair others' hair is joined. So both of them, the one joining it and the one to whom it is, joined it. They're both under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we find this commonly amongst our local people, where they join hair or they use false hair. So it's not the real hair, whether they call it braids or something, braids or whatever it is, things like that. So according to the riwayat now, it's impermissible. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the one who joins hair to other people's hair. Note the practice of using wigs falls in the same category and is thus haram. A woman who suffers due to falling hair should resign herself to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not use imitation hair or otherwise to beautify herself. This is a cursed action and both parties are equally blamed for this. The hair of a widow or an old woman. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cut their hair so short that it would only extend as far as the neck. The Aisha's riwayat that the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to cut the hair so short that it would only extend as far as the neck. Note, this is the commentary of the riwayat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pure wives only adopted this practice after his demise. Long hair is a sign of beauty for a woman and they were not in need of adorning themselves any longer. Understand the riwayat. That to keep long hair was adornment and to keep short hair was mutilation of the beauty. There's no need to look nice anymore. Now short hair is opposite now. Short hair they say is beautiful and long hair is not so. At that time long hair was regarded as beautiful and short hair, or so to say, spoiling one's beauty. So there was no need to adorn themselves any longer, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had departed from this transitory abode. And they did not cut the hair to make themselves look prettier. Rather, short hair was considered a defect in a woman in those times. So that's why they would make themselves defective, so to say. That now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is no more. And according to Sharia also, it was not permissible for them to remarry. After being married to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it wasn't permissible for them to marry anybody else thereafter. Al-Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has written that the cutting the hair was due to abandoning beauty and adornment and due to the fact that they no longer required long hair as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away. Note, it would be permissible if an old unmarried an old unmarried or widowed woman, meaning old widowed woman, shortens her hair in order to decrease her beauty and appeal. Qazi Iyaz rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Nawawi and Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah ta'ala have affirmed this. However, it should not resemble any fashion. So resemble any fashion, nor should it be so short that it resembles men's hair. However, it is haram for young girls and other women to shorten their hair as they are controlled by the dictates of fashion. Women are in fact absolutely forbidden from trimming or cutting their hair. This hadith is an exemption to the above injunction and cannot be regarded as a general rule. Only a very old woman or an aged widow may benefit from the above hadith. We'll just conclude this chapter. Women are prohibited from trimming or shortening their hair. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forbade women from shaving their hair or shaving their heads. Note, women are prohibited from cutting, trimming or shaving their hair. However, if a woman is afflicted with an illness or disease, and she would be relieved of pain by lessening the hair on her head, it would be permissible for her to do so. This is the only concession, the only leeway, and no other reason is regarded to be valid. It is also prohibited for her to straighten the hair at the back. Certain latter-day fuqaha and jurists allow the straightening of the hair at the back. Long hair is a natural beauty of a woman. Altering the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be an offense and an insult to her natural beauty. The author of Misbahul Ihtisab, Allama Sunami rahimahu ta'ala, writes that it is not permissible for women to trim or cut the hair. A narration reported by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he narrates that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forbade women from growing hair in the length of a jamma, which is a man's style. Wafra, liman, jamma. So he forbade women from growing the hair in the length of a jamma, that is hair that flows till the shoulders. It must be longer than that. They shouldn't cut it. Even though it is wajib to obey the husband, this obedience will not supersede the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he tells her, I want you to cut your hair, then there is no ita'at and obedience to the creation in disobeying the creator. Hence, a woman may not act according to the whims of her husband when the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be trespassed. Trimming the hair on the basis that it may grow fuller and longer, is that acceptable? Finally, the last subheading and chapter in this kitab on this topic, the Samurah bin Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates in regards to shaving the head of a newborn baby. So Samurah bin Jundub radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every child is granted deliverance, every child is granted deliverance from shaitan through the sacrifice of aqiqah. When you cut aqiqah, two goat or two sheep for a boy and one for a girl. So through that, the child is saved, guarded from shaitan, which should be done on the seventh day, is mustahab after the birth of the child. The child's head should also be shaved, and he should be named on the seventh day. So it is mustahab on the seventh day. If it cannot be done on the seventh day, then every seventh day after 14, 21, should be ate accordingly. Many people ignore the sunnah, and instead of shaving the head, they merely trim it with modern accessories. The sunnah demands that the head be shaven. In order to achieve this, a machine could be used initially, where after a razor should be passed over the head of the child. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The other narrations also of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when her nephew asked her, other narrations also, that they noticed her hair was very, very short. So here ulama explained to her, hair was very short because of excessive performance of Umrah and Hajj. She would go very often, and every time she would go, then the hair would be trimmed. So because of excessive Umrah and Hajj all the time, her hair became very, very short after. It wasn't the norm. So people, many women take this as a proof that the Aisha's hair was very short. But that too, in that zamana, was actually spoiling the beauty. So it wasn't now that she enjoyed cutting the hair so short. Whereas the women now, they take pleasure in doing so. Allah Ta'ala give us and give them understanding, and also our young sons and boys also, how to don and how to keep the hair according to sunnah. Allah Ta'ala give us the love of the sunnah and to be amal upon the sunnah, inshallah.